Welcome to The Warcast, your geopolitical briefing that tells you what you need to know, when you need to know it. The Warcast is for War on the Rocks members only. Spread the word and tell your friends and colleagues to sign up at warontherocks.com/subscribe.
Last month, Congressman Mac Thornberry, chair of the House Armed Services Committee, said he intended to introduce legislation that would reduce the Pentagon's bureaucracy costs by $25 billion per year. I'm happy to have Mackenzie Eaglin of the American Enterprise Institute turn to the Warcast to talk about this plan. Welcome back to the Warcast, Mackenzie.
Thanks for having me.
So what is this plan from Chairman Thornberry to make these cuts?
Well, I should say first that, of course, it's one in a long line of restructuring efforts at the department to achieve efficiencies and savings. And, you know, so I applaud him for that. However, we should sort of keep in perspective that this is just ongoing due diligence at this point by the executive and legislative branches. This time, the chairman is focused, however, on the so-called fourth estate at the Defense Department. And I think that's probably the most important angle of this is beyond the savings, because those are often not realized. Is an emphasis on this often overlooked area that has very little sunshine, oversight, or even data to better manage it.
And what is he looking to cut specifically?
The chairman's taking, well, it's an aggressive approach. I would still call it an evolutionary one. So, you know, under the, I think it was the Gates initiative, efficiencies, he sought to, and then under, as well as under Chuck Hagel, both of those gentlemen sought to reduce in some ways headquarters, headcount, or budgets. The chairman's sort of building on that concept and broadening it across the fourth estate. He wants to target a full 7 agencies for virtual elimination, asterisks, and the asterisks being that workload that is critical would certainly move elsewhere within the department. So this covers everything from Washington Headquarters Service, which is a lot like HR or human resources for other organizations, to the Office of Economic Adjustment, which supports communities affected by base closures, to several others.
And are these cuts really going to be trimming the fat, or what is the actual impact on DoD operations? What would they be?
So if you step back from the details of the proposal, the chairman's ultimate goal, it seems, is to live under a defense top line that's set under the Budget Control Act, modified now, and stop the diversion of resources to this bureaucracy, so to speak, although many parts of it are important, and away from readiness. It seems that the top priority, that the chairman and the Secretary of Defense are aligned, that most of the new money that's coming in this year, and there's over $60 billion of new money coming in, I'm sure you guys have talked a lot about that, thanks to the budget deal, should go towards readiness as opposed to modernization, for example, or anything else that the department could invest in. So the ultimate goal here is to bolster readiness by keeping the funds level or reduced for these other mandates of the Defense Department, which is a sprawling enterprise. In fact, the savings are modest if you know, in comparison to the Defense Department's size. The balance here ultimately is going to be about one between headcount and processes. And so in the past, both have been tried to focus on one or the other. And typically these fail, as we saw with the Gates effort to close Joint Forces Command. It's one of my favorite $600 hammer and toilet seat example equivalents for the bureaucracy / fourth estate, which was Secretary of Defense Robert Gates proposed closing Joint Forces Command, eliminating it. And basically what happened, if you follow the numbers, which we have here at AEI, every single one of those billets was reabsorbed elsewhere, for the most part, into the joint staff. That's not elimination in any other person's normal world or perception of reality. That's simply moving around the deck chairs and blowing up bureaucracy somewhere else on the org chart. And so I think the chairman's attempting to do both.
Yeah, I mean, that raises a question, which is, undoubtedly there is some duplication of effort, and past efforts have often ran into this, as you say, this rearranging of deck chairs. But the proposal, as we look at, if we look at the numbers, is trying to eliminate like 50,000 government civilian positions and 150,000 contractor positions. That's just back of the envelope math, and reallocate those responsibilities elsewhere. So is the remaining workforce so underutilized that they can absorb that much extra work? Or is it just that there wasn't as Like, there is that level of effort that just wasn't being done by the workforce that will remain.
Right. So I think you're seeing a concern here by the chairman, which is after defense budgets peaked in 2010, and of course, we've seen the Budget Control Act, but also just general efforts to reduce defense spending since then until now, what you saw was a dramatic decline in the active duty military. So that's pretty typical, although what it's typical meaning when conflicts wind down, that the U.S. follows this pattern. What is we did it in the 1990s. What is atypical about the 2010s is that the defense civilian workforce, which supports the active duty military, never shrank commensurately, much less at all. In fact, in some years, year over year, it grew, even as budgets overall were declining for every other investment area. So I think, you know, putting this in perspective, 50,000 actually is not a lot relative to the defense civilian manpower reductions of the 90s, but it is a lot in isolation as we're talking about today. And it certainly is a lot when you're talking about these individual organizations and wholesale elimination. But you're putting your finger on the issue here, which is really about workload. There's no point in taking away billets if you're not also similarly reducing workload. And this was a favorite saying of former Deputy Secretary of Defense Bob Work and others who have tried and failed to make these kinds of changes. The challenge here is, again, I go back to an original point. There's so little coordination among these agencies. They're disparate. You know, this is not, there's no service secretary equivalent or service chief for the Fourth Estate, although Mr. Thornberry, the chairman, proposes to amend that by making the chief management officer in charge of all of these or have oversight, so to speak. But because there's so little oversight and sunlight and data, and you need data to make good decisions, typically, I don't know whether or not this is enough to do both, reduce headcount, reduce workload. The perfect scenario is that you absolutely do both. Ideally, the workload loss comes first and the people follow. But the chairman is obviously frustrated because he's watched the failed efforts of the last 20 years to do similar work and take on similar initiatives. And that's why I think it's becoming more dramatic. So the Defense Department's got to figure out how to show progress in this realm. Otherwise, these types of seemingly dramatic proposals are going to get traction. Don't know if it's this year, but they're certainly... the frustration part, anyway, is warranted.
Now, there's probably not a defense consultant in town who isn't happy to see the Washington Headquarters Service get a bit of a haircut. But that said, you know, it strikes me that over the last couple of years, there's been some issue in getting contracts out of the Pentagon. And, you know, there's probably a good question of whether those are warranted in the first place, but some of them are at the moment essential for the business operations of the building. You know, how do you have a sense of how this is going to impact the ability of the Department of Defense to get things that they need to get on contract when things are already backed up before we talked about getting rid of WHS?
That's a great question. We know that operations and maintenance spending, which includes civilian salaries at the Pentagon, funds things like logistics, also covered by this Fourth Estate, that spending has grown almost 60% in the last decade and a half. But it's unclear why. We know that the Defense Department spends more on services than equipment, weapons, or goods, you know, hardware, so to speak. So the trend lines are that actually contracting is going pretty well in this realm, meaning of services, of the provision of labor for the department in any way, shape, or form. It could be painting a building, mowing the lawn, being a lawyer, contracting officer, et cetera. But the goal, of course, is to rein some of that in. We know that the Budget Control Act, we know more specifically that continuing resolutions have had a dramatic impact on the ability to get things under contract. Right? Because generally, what does the CR do? We've talked about this before. It freezes spending. You can't start a new award. You can't expand an existing contract from, you know, two subs to three a year or whatever the service equivalent of that is, meaning the providing of labor. It applies to services as well. So maybe you want to upgrade the whole office's IT, you know, suite, for example, or laptops or flat screens. All of those kinds of things are affected just the same. Those have been hurt by reduced spending under the BCA, but they're hurt much more by the freeze in spending that's been happening every year. And not only is it happening every year, it's getting longer each year since passage of the Budget Control Act, making the spend rate time much shorter, about half of a fiscal year. That's the problem here. I wouldn't say in terms of getting things under contract, I don't think it'll necessarily be the chairman's proposal. Although if it were to pass, and that's a big if, and I doubt it would ever pass as written, but if some variation of this were to pass, the timeline's pretty aggressive. It's basically 2 years and some change. That could eventually, yes, become an issue that you're raising, where the uncertainty about the outcome, what stays, what goes, and I mean workload, and then, of course, people and managers and contracting officers, I think eventually you could see a trickle-down effect where it does become more difficult to get business out the door.